the Lord. Can we turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 25 from verse 1? And the topic of my exhortation, I was glad that Brother Chinedu, who taught in the Sunday school, branched that place a little. The topic of this short exhortation is going out to meet Jesus. Going out to meet Jesus. Let us pray before we go ahead. Our Father and our Lord, we thank you for all the blessings you have released unto us since we began this meeting this morning. Father, receive all the honor in Jesus' name. Lord, once again, we have come to eat of your meal, to dine at your table. Father, feed us abundantly this afternoon in the name of Jesus. Let our soul be nourished. Let your word bring salvation to us. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Your amen is low. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Going out to meet Jesus. Let's see Matthew 25 from verse 1. Matthew 25 from verse 1. Then means future. So this is a prophecy. Shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins? It's a parable. It's not saying that 10 virgins will go. It says it shall be likened. And the kingdom of heaven is the church, which took their lamps. Can you go back to verse 1? Please listen to me as I read it. Which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. And the wise answered and said, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye neither know the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word in Jesus' name. We live in a generation where there is famine. Not a famine of dollar. Even if in Nigeria, dollar is expensive. We still have people. They don't spray naira anymore now. They spray dollar. The odogus. So dollar is not scarce. Not a famine of cars. Because I saw something that despite we are complaining about the economy of Nigeria, the kind of cars I see on the street of Lagos speaks otherwise. It's as if Nigerians have more luxurious cars even than the Westerners. Not a famine of houses. Come to our God and see buildings. Everyday building is going on. But there is a different kind of famine. Not even a famine of anointing. Not a famine of prophecy. Because today, a man of God can pull out his suit, throw it on this roll, and every brother that is seated on this wing will fall down and will say, power. But there's a different kind of famine that we are experiencing in the land. It is a famine of the word of God. The word of God is scarce. The word of God is rare in this generation. We go to church and what we hear is motivational speeches. We go to church and what we hear is intellectual knowledge. Yesterday we were in the prison ministry, maximum prison for a program. And some other ministries ministered before us. Grammar. Head knowledge. We were just talking. No life. But when we started, we first went to the prophets. By the time the prophet started discerning prisoners, calling their names, mentioning their names, telling prisoners the dreams that they are dreaming, we didn't tell them, be on your feet. Everybody stood up. Everybody remained standing. And when the preacher would handle microphone, it was even pidgin English we were speaking. While others came with grammar, we were doing what? Speaking pidgin English. By the time we called for water baptism, 37 people came out. We had no time to finish our sermon. We didn't even have time to finish. They told us they had stayed there from morning till afternoon that they were hungry. So we're like, come and see how prisoners were flowing with us, because we didn't go with intellectual knowledge. We didn't go with motivational speeches. We went with the original word of God. Why am I saying this? If the Lord brings you to an assembly like this, give God glory. Because when you come here, you have come to the table of the Lord to dine. We go to churches and you hardly hear about the coming of the Lord. Nobody tells us what is going on. Nobody tells us prophecies that are being fulfilled. Last week we spoke about Iran attacking Israel. How many pastors in this generation even know that there is a war that we are watching out for before the rapture? Famine of the word of God. But when you come here, we will tell you what the word of God says, because we are in the present truth. Now, Matthew 25 is a prophecy. It's not just a story. There is no portion of the Bible that is just historical. In that historical story you see in the Bible, there is also the prophetic side of it. In Matthew 25, the Lord Jesus was not telling a story. It is not just a parable. It is a prophecy concerning the church. He says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. He's speaking of what the church will become in the season of the second coming of Jesus. If you are open, shout hallelujah. So those virgins are the Christians. He said they slumbered and slept, because Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. Even Apostle Paul thought that in his own generation, Jesus will come. Apostle Paul slept and died. Then there was a rumor going around the early apostles, the early disciples rather, because Jesus said unto John, that, telling Peter in John 21, that if I will that this man should tarry till I come, what is that today? The early disciples started saying that John will not die till Jesus comes. John saw Jesus in the spirit in the book of Revelation. He also might have been expecting the coming of the Lord, but it didn't happen. But we have a prophecy that causes us to know the coming of the Lord. Matthew 25 is so. So because Jesus tarried and delayed his coming, the Bible says that the virgins slept. Not only did they sleep. You can sleep and sleep lightly. But when they say slumbered, when you slumber, it is not just light sleeping. There must be something serious to wake you up. Have you ever got home? Maybe you worked all day, then you came for Friday vigil. You worked all day. From Friday vigil, you went to market again on Saturday. When you get home on Saturday night, how will you sleep? You will slumber. Like our sisters now, by the time they get home this afternoon, if they don't cook for you, that is, don't be angry. Because they've been here since Friday night. Praise the living God. So they slumbered and slept because it tarried. Because the bridegroom didn't come on time. Not knowing that there was an appointed time for the bridegroom to come. Jesus is not going to come late for the rapture. He will come at his appointed time. Praise God. But something happened in verse 6. Where we are reading, Matthew 25 verse 6. Something happened. Something happened in verse 6. Now, they were sleeping and slumbering. The Bible says, at midnight, what happened? A cry was made. A cry was made, because to wake up somebody that is slumbering and sleeping is not by talking, wake up. You must cry, shout. A cry was made. And the cry that we call the midnight cry said something. Can we read together? What was that cry saying? Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now, there is something I want to bring up. Our study today, our exhortation is not, we are not even teaching about the midnight cry. You will discover something in that verse 6. That this thing that we call the midnight cry, there are two messages in that midnight cry. Can you hang that scripture? Matthew 25 verse 6. There are two items, two programs, two messages in the midnight cry. What's the first message? The first message is an information, an announcement. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. That's an announcement now. That's an information. If I'm telling you, behold, Brother Uka cometh, I'm announcing his coming. The second message in this midnight cry is what we have neglected for so long. Whenever we talk about the midnight cry, our emphasis is always the first one. Jesus is coming soon. The bridegroom cometh. The bridegroom cometh. But there is another message in the midnight cry. The first is an information. If I tell you somebody is coming, I've not told you to do anything. The message is not complete until you take the second part. What is the second part saying? Go ye out to meet him. Jesus is coming. Yes, go out to meet him. The midnight cry is not only that Jesus is coming soon. It is not complete until you add part B. Go out to meet him. But many of us, we only stop in part one. Behold the bridegroom cometh. Behold the bridegroom cometh. Why will he tell us, go ye out to meet him? It simply means that Jesus will not meet the bride where they were at that particular moment. It simply means that they were not in the right place where he expected them to be. Oh, somebody, we are talking about the church. So when he's saying, I am coming. Jesus is coming. The bridegroom is coming. Firstly, you will ask, what is he coming for? He's not coming for signs and wonders. What is he coming for? He's not coming for breakthrough. He's coming to rapture his bride. But in coming to rapture his bride, he sent a message to his bride through messenger saying, I am coming soon. Go out to meet me. I hope the Lord is speaking to somebody this afternoon. If you are with me, shout hallelujah. Jesus won't meet us just anywhere. There is an outgoing that the bride must do before she can meet the bridegroom. There is an exodus. The meaning of exodus is outgoing, going out. There must be another exodus for the people of God before they can meet with Jesus. If the bride of Jesus does not come out of where he said they should go out from, they will never meet with Jesus and they will not be raptured. Jesus is coming soon. Yes. Go ye out to meet Jesus. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. But there was something about the wise virgins. There were two types of people. He says wise, foolish. Because the wise virgins had oil in their lamps, they were able to give heed to that commandment that says, go out to meet Jesus. Everybody had the message, but it was only the wise virgins that went out to meet Jesus. The foolish virgins heard that Jesus is coming soon, but because they were not ready, they couldn't go out to meet him. May you not be part of the foolish virgins. Church, we are talking of this end time. That is a prophecy concerning this end time church. Jesus will not just meet us anywhere. We must go out of where we are to meet Jesus. If you want the Lord Jesus to rapture you, he has sent a message. I am coming soon. Go ye out to meet me. Go ye out to meet Jesus. And I looked, I saw that our God has a character. What is that character? God doesn't just meet man in any place. God does not just meet man anywhere. For instance, he was to meet Abel at the point of his offering. Abel brought the right offering. God was also expecting to meet Cain, but Cain did not bring the right offering. God even told him, if you do the right thing, will you not be accepted? So that lets you know that God doesn't meet man at any point. Another time, he told the children of Israel, in Exodus chapter 3 from verse 1, let's read it. They were in Egypt, but before God could resume his dealing with them, before God could continue his promise to Abraham, before God could continue his promise to the children of Israel, he told them, you must leave Egypt. Let's read it so that you understand where we are going. Now, Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses. And Moses said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh either. Put out thy shoes from off thy foot, for the place that you are standing is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Please follow the story. And the Lord said something. I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. And I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to do what? To deliver them out of the hand of Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Verse 9 and verse 10. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I've also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest do what? Bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now, have you ever asked yourself a question? Why did God not give them the law when they were in Egypt? Last week, we looked at the Egyptian compromise, that God desires that his people must leave Egypt before they worship him. Why didn't God give them the law in the land of Egypt? It's easy now. Why must there be a going out? That is our God for you. He won't just meet us anywhere. I am liking that, typing that to the church of Jesus. God will not just meet his bride anywhere. And in the condition, this estate, the present estate of the bride of Jesus, when Jesus will be coming back, if the bride must be raptured by him, there must be a going out. There must be a going out. Jesus won't just meet us anywhere. Where should we go out from? There must be a going out because we have left where we are supposed to be. He said, while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among his wheat. So when he is coming back to rapture us, if we will be raptured, we must go out to meet him. So where do we go out from? Number one, we must go out from the family of Jezebel. I think that's a very beautiful name. Is there any sister by that name here? Eh? Sister Jezebel. Did I hear yes? Can any Sister Jezebel wave her hand? Wave your hand, let me see you. So everybody here knows who Jezebel is. Is Sister Sarah here? Yeah? Sister Sarah's are lifting up their hand. But when I mentioned Jezebel, why did you not lift up your hand? Because of who she is. If you must meet Jesus, you must go out of the family of Jezebel. Jezebel has a family. If you want to meet Jesus and be raptured by him, the first place you must go out from to go out to meet Jesus, you must go out from the family of Jezebel. When I say Jezebel, all of us, our mind will go back to the story in the Old Testament. Even if you don't study it, I think we did some weeks back in our Sunday school. Jezebel was a very wicked woman, a diabolic woman. Jezebel brought the land of Israel into idolatry. Jezebel corrupted the whole nation and sold them into sin and wickedness. Jezebel persecuted the prophets of God and killed the truly righteous people in the land. She was so wicked that even Elijah, that called down fire, had to run for his life from the hand of Jezebel. Let's see the Old Testament Jezebel before I tell you who Jezebel is. Jezebel in the Old Testament is a type. Let's see her deeds. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 31 and 32. You must go out from the family of Jezebel. Many of us don't know that we are married to Jezebel. We're in the family of Jezebel. And it came to pass, as if he had been a lightning for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife who? Jezebel. Ahab, the husband, took Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians. And what did he do? Because you married the child of a priest king that worships Baal. Jezebel caused Ahab to go and do what? To go and serve Baal and worship him. Verse 32. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. Who was behind it? It was Jezebel. Ahab was the king, but there was a woman he was married to by the name Jezebel who brought him to idolatry. And if the king of a land is brought into idolatry, the whole land will be brought into idolatry. Let's read on. I'm going somewhere. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 4. Another story about Jezebel. Verse 4, chapter 18. This is Obadiah talking. He says, for it was so, when she killed the prophets of the Lord. Not even prophets. For you to know why Elijah had to run for his dear life, Jezebel was not making an empty threat. When Jezebel sent a message to Elijah that by this time tomorrow, if I don't make you like one of those prophets of Baal that you killed, Elijah knew better than to say me, man of God. Jezebel that has been killing prophets before him. Can you see her? This is who she is. She brought in idolatry. She kills the prophet of the Lord. See 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 25. We are heading somewhere. You must go out from the family of Jezebel. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to walk wickedness in the sight of the Lord. Who stirred him up? Ah, church, you are not reading with me. Are we all tired? Whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up. Ahab is wicked. Ahab is wicked. Who was the brain behind Ahab's wickedness? Who was the fuel behind Ahab's wickedness? It's Jezebel. That is the Old Testament Jezebel. We all know how wicked she was. Until God had to give a special anointing upon a man by the name Jehu in 2 Kings chapter 9. God had to anoint Jehu specially before Jehu could kill Jezebel. We are not talking about physical Jezebel that has died thousands of years ago. There is another Jezebel that many of us don't know. And many of us are joined to our family. I will tell you why I use the language family. Open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 2. Let's see the Jezebel we are talking about. Revelation chapter 2, verse 20 to 23. There is another Jezebel and she's still alive today. It says, notwithstanding. Oh, okay, let's take it from verse 18 so that somebody will understand the story. First, second, Revelation 2:18, and unto the angel of the church in Thyatira. So he's speaking to who? The church. Angel of the church. This thing seeth the Son of God. And the book of Revelations is the last book of the Bible. It's a prophecy. That hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, charity, service, faith, patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Now, verse 20. Notwithstanding, you this church, I have a few things against thee. Hey, because you allowed that woman, Jezebel, which called herself a who? A prophetess. For you to know, it's not prophetess like Sister Marachi, Sister Joy. The prophetess here is a teacher. She called herself a prophetess to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Let's read on before I explain. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, spiritual fornication. She repented not. Behold, verse 22. I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Now, verse 23. And I will kill her. So she has children. Okay. Maybe you didn't see it. I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he who searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to their works. This is spiritual Jezebel. I gave us the scriptures that speak of the physical Jezebel. So that when we are talking about Jezebel now, we will understand what we mean. The Bible says this one is a prophetess. And she is in the church. The universal church of Jesus. Don't forget that that message was written to the church. Just like physical Jezebel was in Israel, spiritual Jezebel is also in spiritual Israel, the church, the universal church. She teaches and she is continuing the wicked deeds of the physical Jezebel. She's still killing the prophet of God. She brings idolatry. She brought in idolatry into spiritual Israel. She taught the people of God to fornicate. Brethren, if I don't go further, you know what I mean. We are speaking about a church inside the church. We are talking about the church within the universal church of Jesus. Which church has brought in idolatry into Christianity? Which church has brought in spiritual fornication into Christianity? Which church has called the martyrdom, caused the killing of many preachers and saints of God? If you know secular history, you will understand what I'm saying. This same church, this same woman, see a description in Revelation chapter 17 from verse 1. Revelation 17 from verse 1. Revelation 17 verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vows, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither. What will I do? Don't forget in chapter 2, they said she committed fornication. She committed adultery. She even taught it. So she's, in Nigerian language, we call her a shawo, abi. She's a whore, a prostitute of international standards. He says, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Still speaking of that woman, verse 2, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Read on. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman, very beautiful woman, sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. That is a prophetic language, symbolic language. There's no woman with seven heads and 10 horns. That's all of him. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Verse 5. And upon her forehead, we are still talking about Jezebel, was a name written. If you don't know her by the name Jezebel, she has another name. Babylon the Great. Come on. Because she has children, she is called the mother of our Lord. Eh? Family of Jezebel. And abominations of the earth. Verse 6. And the woman was drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered with a great admiration. Go to verse 18 of this same chapter. In case you are just hearing us for the first time and you don't know who this Jezebel is. This woman that you saw, she is that great city that reigneth over the kings of the earth. Which city is that? Now you talk amu. No be me talk amu. If you don't know. Please, which city is that? Say it so that your neighbor will hear. I didn't say it though. It's you that said it. That is Jezebel. That church that calls herself the first church They said they received the key from Peter. The same church has killed nothing less than 68 million Christians in history. If you disagree with them, they will kill you. That was the same church that brought in idolatry into Christianity. Where in the Christian faith do you see where we are told to bow to an image and pray to it? Some of us don't ask simple questions. Bring Bible and show me. Where in the Christian faith do you see Saint Obina pray for me? When he says there's only one mediator between God and man. Where in the Christian faith do you see all the practices of that church? The church is you know, there's something about people that go to that particular church. One thing I observe is that many of them, especially in the village, they go, they follow shrine, still they go to that church. Why? Oh, you are one of them. Thank you. You know why? Because it is continuation of idol worship. For you to understand who Jezebel is, the Roman church is Jezebel. The Roman church, that is the Jezebel the Bible is talking of. If you must meet the Lord Jesus, go out from her to meet him. That is the end time message. Brother Frank that works with me, he read history in the higher institution. He was born a Catholic. If Brother Frank can wave his hand, I think he's over there. His eyes started opening when he was doing his studies in school, because he's studying history. So he came across secular history that nullified all the nonsense that they taught him in catechism. We are the first church, we are this, we are that. By the time secular history opened his eyes, then he knew that, so now lie, these people, they tell us. When he came here and heard the end time message, he knew that he was in the right place. Brethren, Jesus will not meet his bride in the family of Jezebel. Now, all of us sitting here, none of you will go to Jezebel for anything. Although there are some members that go to this church over there in Ago. That church where the man is an evangelist, but he's a prophet. And then he receives vision, they do anointing, but the old rosary. And then there will be a shrine. I watch him. I watch his TV. Sir. Man, no calling TV name. There will be a shrine. Sorry, an image. Where he's ministering. So they will pray, Hail Mary, full of grace. Then he will minister. There's a sister in special group. I know you. You went there. Because you told people you went there. You are even fighting for him. Are you a member of this church? I know you, in case you are hearing me, so that you know we know you. You have freedom of worship. We can't tie you down and say you must be in bride assembly. Where you worship is a function of your revelation. We can't tie you down. You have only caused us to know how revelated you are. Praise God. Many of us won't go there because you know that that is not Christianity. Hail Mary full of grace is not Christianity. Many of us will not go there. But the most subtle part of it is that Jezebel has children. Do you know something? There was the daughter of the physical Jezebel in the Bible. Her name is Athaliah. Hey, maybe some people don't know that Jezebel had a daughter. And this girl or woman was married to the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. Because he was married to the daughter of Jezebel, the same wickedness that was practiced in the northern kingdom, they brought it to the southern kingdom. As soon as Jehoshaphat died, a son of Jehoshaphat stood up and killed all his brothers so that only him would remain. Where did he learn it from? His wife, daughter of Jezebel. I'm going somewhere. You won't go to that church and bow to an image of Mary. But little did you know that Satan has gone beyond that. Jezebel has children. Revelation 17 verse 5 says she is the mother of harlots. If she is a whore, her children continue her trade. Upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great. The mother of harlots. That means they continue her practice. The sin of this wicked Jezebel is that she corrupted the word of God. She removed the word of God and brought in idolatry into Christianity. Matthew 13 verse 33. Let's see it. Go ye out to meet Jesus. Many of us, Matthew 13 verse 3, we have gone out of Jezebel, but many of us are still with our daughters. And Jesus will never rapture you when you are connected to that family. Another parable spake unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman, who is that woman? Verse 33, now I've not finished reading. That woman Jezebel took and hid in 3 measures of meal. The meal there is the word of God. Till the whole was corrupted. That was what she did. If this is what Jezebel the second did, what will our children do? This is what she did that made the Lord Jesus to call her a great ashawo. But the same Bible says that she has daughters that are allots. So if this is our practice, what are our children doing? Let me help you out. Any church that is not governed by the word of God is a daughter of Jezebel. We'll bring it home. Any church that is not ruled by the apostolic doctrines, any church that is not governed by the apostolic faith is a allot ministry, a daughter of Jezebel. And if Jesus will rapture you, you must come out from her. Brother, it's easy to say yes, sir. But there are some of us, our pastors are women pastors. When the Bible says that it suffer not a woman to preach, teach, or usurp authority over a man, that is a allot ministry. Let's bring it home. It's easy to say yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. The truth is many of us are still relating with Jezebel and her children. You know Jezebel is popular and great. You will not go to her. But you are having an affair with her daughter. It is the same evil works continue. You will never be raptured when you are involved with her. It's not politics. I didn't say Bride Assembly is the only true church. I'm telling you the true word of God. Go ye out to meet him. It's go out of Jezebel and her daughters. Go out from churches where the word of God is not in control. Go out from churches that are not ruled by the word of God. Go out from churches where they will tell you that our apostles made mistakes. Go out from churches where they will tell you that water baptism has expired. Go out from churches where they will tell you that Holy Communion has expired. Go out from churches where they tell you it doesn't matter. Those are the daughters of Jezebel. If you will be raptured by Jesus, you must go out from them to meet him. You know something? You know something? Anointing. Anointing, manifestation of spirits. We take many people to hellfire. Both the ministers and the followers. Anointing. Anointing. Have you not seen that the Bible says in Psalm 68 verse 18 that God giveth his gift to all men, even to the rebellious? So how can you make a gift, an anointing, to be the reason why you be in a ministry? Signs will follow them that believe, but signs will also follow unbelievers. Because he causeth his gift to dwell among all men. Many of us attach ourselves to ministries because of anointing, not because of revelation. So the devil is using that to deceive many people. But I have news for you. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, he said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 22. He said, many will say to me in that day, did I not prophesy in your name? What else do you need, child of God? Did I not cast out devils? This is not arranged, this is original. Did I not do miracles in your name? Original. Verse 23. Yet I will say unto them, I never knew you. because you didn't go out of Jezebel to see me. I never knew you because you did not leave the daughters of Jezebel. Depart from me. What is the iniquity? You that work iniquity, what is the iniquity? Two cannot work together except they be agreed. The iniquity is that when you disrespect the word of God, God will disrespect you. God rejected Cain because Cain rejected the word of God. No man will go to heaven when you reject the word of God. But the daughters of Jezebel will tell you it doesn't matter. As long as anointing is flowing, God is with us. I pity you. God left Samson long ago. He didn't know. He was still manifesting anointing. Until the last part of it, when they scraped his head, that was when he knew that. So God don't leave me completely. But in the New Testament, even if they scrape their head, the power will continue. Because a group of people must be deceived by God. It is scripture. If you don't love the truth, God said he will send you the spirit of delusion. You want to meet Jesus, you must leave Jezebel and her daughters. Go out from them. Many people fight us, like the ones we met yesterday. Thank God they are not fighting us because of revelation or doctrine. If the reason you call me Olumi Devil is because of my stand, thank you. They can't fault our revelation or doctrine. So leave it to us. Thank you. Curse us. Insult us. Tell us we are not good. Tell us we locked somebody in the prison. Say all manner of things you want. But you cannot fault what we stand for and what we preach. Thank you. They're there. Jezebel is talking. I saw them. See, you didn't see those sisters yesterday. They were members of this church. See trousers that they were knocking and paint. Mommy, you saw them now. So did they catch revelation? Be there, be pointing finger at me. Even if I commit sin, at least I'm in the place of revelation, in the place of light. I have relationship with my father. The spirit of chastisement, let him deal with me by himself. Maybe he's even using you to deal with me, but I'm going to heaven. You have rejected the word of God. I pity you. Continue insulting me. You have rejected the word of God. Just make a lot of money so that you can bribe Satan, because by the time you miss the rapture, you will know. Stay there and be talking. Praise the living God. Brethren, if you will meet Jesus, leave the family of Jezebel. Leave the family of Jezebel. Anywhere the word of God is abused or misplaced is the family of Jezebel. Any church that is not married to the Bible is the family of Jezebel. And let me tell you, 99% of churches in this generation are daughters of Jezebel. It's the truth. Church is business now. It is true. Brother Emma, you had an experience. I went to Saturday prayer band leader. He said he was getting worried. I gave him the mic. Let him share it. He had an experience this morning. He rushed to my office to share with me. He said he was getting worried about our building. That church, God should provide money for us to build the church. All the microphones are not working. Sorry, just look for... Okay, let me say it myself. That the Lord should provide money for us to build the church. He was getting worried and he rested. He said, these people are building... No. You need to say it yourself. Come and say it.
Praise the Lord. Yes, yesterday night, we had a very wonderful session of prayers. And we tackled the church finance. And we pray that God should release money to us. We have something to tell the world, but we are suffering financially. So we cited instances with churches, edifices. There was one they called the finger of God, and what is going on now. So this morning, while I woke up by 6 a.m., I was reflecting over it. While I was getting worried, he spoke to me in my ear. He said, the Bride Assembly Church is building an ark. Why others are building edifice? He said, the Bride Assembly Church is building an ark. Those of you that were in the powerhouse this morning, I was so excited. And I am still excited till now.
Thank you very much. Hope you know the meaning of that. Hope you know the meaning of that. Who built an ark in the Bible? Noah. for the salvation of his family or for the salvation of them that believe. That is what we are building through the word of God. Brethren, run for your life. We are not politicians in Bride Assembly. We only have caught a revelation, and we are bold to share the revelation with the whole world. God will never rapture anybody that is tied to Jezebel and her family. If you see a scripture that speaks otherwise, come and show me. Let's do Bible study. We are not saying, see, anointing is falling there. He said, I cause my rain to fall on the just and the unjust. So why is anointing making you go to where the word of God is insulted? Why is anointing making you go to where the word of God is abused? Why is charisma making you go to where the word of God is trampled on? You can't be raptured with such a character. Go ye out to me, Jesus. Because of time, let me continue. You want to see the daughter of Jezebel? Let's see it. 2 Chronicles chapter 21. 2 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 5 and 6. The daughter of Jezebel, what she did to Judah. 2 Chronicles 21, verse 5 and 6. Before we go to the next point. Okay? I thought somebody was on the scripture. Jehoram was 30 and 2 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. And he walked in the way of the king of Israel, like as did the house of Ahab. Why? For he had the daughter of Ahab to wife. And for a king to marry the daughter of Ahab, that means he must have married the princess, the daughter of the queen, Jezebel. And what did he do? He wrought that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. So stay there and continue with the daughter of Jezebel. The next place we must go out from if we meet with Jesus. Number two, we must go out from Sodom and Egypt. Sodom and Egypt. In Revelation chapter 11 verse 8, the Bible says that there was a city that is spiritual Sodom and spiritual Egypt. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. What I'm bringing out here is that when we say go out from Sodom and Egypt, we are not talking of the land of Egypt. Neither are we talking of Sodom that does not exist anymore. We are talking of spiritual Sodom and Egypt. Sodom signifies perversion. Sodom is a world that is left to judgment. A society that cannot be redeemed anymore. A society that speaks of divine retribution. A society that reflects the righteous judgment of God because they can't be forgiven of their sins again. Sodom was so corrupt that in Genesis chapter 18, when God revealed to Abraham that I am going to destroy Sodom, Abraham, the friend of God, began to pray for Sodom. Abraham, the friend of God, began to intercede for Sodom. He said, Father, if you can find 50 people in Sodom, will you destroy Sodom? God looked at him. I'm a merciful God. If I find just 50, I won't destroy. But God was still going. Abraham said, so there's no 50. He brought it down. 45, 40, 30, 20. Finally, he asked God, if you find 10 righteous people in Sodom, will you destroy Sodom? God said, if I find 10, I won't destroy Sodom. Did he find 10? For you to know how perverted the society is. That is the society we are living in today. In Luke 17:30, he said, as it was in the days of Lot, the days of Lot are here again. Sodom is prevailing today. And Christians that want to go in the rapture must come out of Sodom. Everywhere you go to LGBT. See, LGBT, I preached that sermon before, Sodom and Gomorrah. Lesbianism, homosexuality was the final condition of Sodom. Before they got there, what were they doing? It is an immoral society. Lot was begging those men that wanted to commit homosexuality with the angels. He said, I have two daughters that are virgins. Let me bring them out to you. They refused. That means in the land of Sodom, fornication, as they have finished the level of fornication. So they have graduated to another level of homosexuality. Sodom is perversion. We cannot be part of the perversion in the land and expect to go in the rapture. We cannot be part of the perversion that is prevailing in the whole society and expect to go in the rapture. What do we see in the entertainment? What do you see on TV? Last week or last 2 weeks, I used YouTube because I learned from YouTube. I came across an old Nigerian film that I watched as a child also. Yes, and that I watched as a boy. It was a Saint Obi film. And I was seeing some part of it. And a thought occurred to me that the film of those days that we even called worldly films, there was still a standard of morality in it. You will not see where they opened themselves, where they kiss, or where they did anything. Those Nollywood films of those days, you will even see where they reverence God. You see some parts where they'll show pastor, where they'll show reverend. Check the entertainment of today. We are in Sodom. Turn on your phone. Go to TikTok. On your YouTube, if you don't properly subscribe to the channels that you want to see, Satan will help you. Even when you subscribe, once in a while, they will advertise some things for you that will cause you to know, brother, I did Sodom. What do we see in this generation? Sodom is a society that has put aside the fear of God. We are living in such a society. In Sodom, people don't fear God. Sodom is the advanced level of Egypt. Sodom and Egypt represents the world. Moses came to Pharaoh, said, God said, let my people go. Did you hear the response of Pharaoh? Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? That means there is no fear of God. Brethren, is there fear of God in the land today? We must come out of it. If we will meet with the Lord Jesus, the spiritual Sodom and Egypt that we are seeing in the society. Last week, I mentioned it now. Imagine a pastor came to his pulpit and the testimony is given is that a contestant of BB Ninja, who is now a popular DJ, that he was the one that gave her the prophecy. How many of you remember Tolani Baj? And she came and she was like, Papa prophesied to me 2 years ago. He said, are you a DJ? Are you a celebrity? I see you becoming a celebrity. Church, pastor. Then I went for BB Ninja, you know, and after that, I became a DJ at the pulpit. So those ones will tell you, see you in the rapture. Let's judge, which rapture are they going to? When Jesus comes to you for salvation, the first step is that it takes you out from sin. It takes you out of the slavery of sin and the world. That is what Egypt is. In Matthew 1:21, he said, he shall deliver his people from their sins. So how can we say we will be raptured with Jesus when we are still in the bondage of sin in Egypt and Sodom? It's not possible. It's not possible. And we know the deeds of Egypt. We saw the compromises of Pharaoh last week. How that Pharaoh will not let you leave Egypt freely. He will compromise with you. And many Christians have taken the compromise of Pharaoh. How do you say you are not in Egypt and what they are doing in Egypt, you practice it? Some of us still watch pornography. Some Christians still have girlfriends. Married men still have side chicks, Christians. Some married men still flirt with some sisters. There are some things we hear sometimes that if we say in the church, I'm talking of in the church, when a man will tell a married woman that your husband is not around, man, they give you spam. I've heard it. Let me not go further. Now, this church, I hear, when a married man will be chasing a sister I've heard it. So, will that person tell you, I am going to meet Jesus? You are still in Egypt. You can't be raptured in such a condition. When we Christians still behave like the world, we are still in Egypt. Don't just know Jesus as a prayer answering God that gives you all your heart's desires. When you come to him, he also has his own desire. That is why in teaching us how to pray, he said, thy will be done on earth. Thy will be done in my life as it is done in heaven. If your will cannot be buried to the will of Jesus, you are still in Egypt. It is Egyptians that when they do their celebration, they use alcohol. That is what we did in the world. We drank booze. Why are you a Christian celebrating and alcohol is there? If you like, get offended. You are still in Egypt. Why are you a Christian dressing like the world? In the world, they slay. They dress to kill. That is what they do in Egypt. So when a godly, a sister that says she's a Christian, dresses to kill, she's still in Egypt also. Jesus will not meet us in Sodom and Egypt, brethren. We must come out from it. Going in the rapture is not, I will see you in the rapture. I will see you in the rapture. No. There is a going out to do. He won't meet you there. He will never meet you in Egypt. The world of sin and perversion, Egypt and Sodom, Christ will never meet his church, his bride there. Watch your life. Many of us take our spiritual life for granted today. When I see, it's WhatsApp that I use, the status update of some of us, and I say that this is a member of my church, I weep. Why should you show your breast as a Christian sister on status? What do I mean? It doesn't matter. No, it matters. It matters. The private part of your body is for your husband alone. You have shown me your breast. Why are you showing me your breast? You want me to be blind? You want to send me to hell? And you say it doesn't matter. You must be raptured, come out from such. God will meet us there. He will never meet us there. When the world is going left, we are to go right. We will not behave like the world. We will not act like the world. We are a people on a mission. We are marching to Canaan land. If we expect to go, brethren, go out from Egypt and Sodom. Thirdly, go out of the flesh to meet Jesus. He will only take us with him if we are with him in the spirit. Because he even said, the hour is coming and now is that the true worshippers will worship him in spirit and in truth. When we say go out of the flesh, the Bible says in John chapter 3 verse 6, he that is born of flesh is flesh. That means every human being, every man, every woman, your nature is flesh. We are not talking of this flesh, or we are not talking of your body. We are talking of a nature, a spiritual nature. Many times when we read that scripture, we think it's speaking of just the physical flesh. He that is born of flesh is flesh. That is your spiritual nature. But there is another birth called he that is born of the spirit is spirit. Now, your physical natural nature, it has its deeds. In Galatians chapter 5 from verse 16, he says you should walk in the spirit so that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So when we say you should go out of the flesh, we are saying that self, Olumide, must die and Christ must be formed in this vessel before I can be raptured. Olumide is evil. In fact, they have helped me. They say it's Olumi devil. The keeper warrior says Olumi devil. That's who he is. So be praying for him. Olumide must die. Christ must be formed before I can go. That is the meaning of go out of the flesh. Because in Galatians chapter 2 verse 24, let's read it. Galatians chapter 5 verse 24, please. Galatians chapter 5 verse 24. What does it say? They that are Christ's, what have they done? They have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If ever you must be raptured by Jesus, you must go out of the flesh. Even the Bible says that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. There are many things I see some of us do that I know we are still in the flesh. Should I say one of it? Why will you, a sister, I say it in love, why will you go for swimming where you wear bikini, wear this, wear that, and you are posting it for all to see? Let's be very frank. I loved swimming before I gave my life to Christ. When talking to the youth, I said I was registered in a gym in Gowon Estate, Havana. Prophet Jayola and Prophet Popoye, you know that place. There was a swimming pool by the gym that I was a part of. Of course, when men are going into it, we pull our shirt now. You wear only your swimming trunk or boxers. That is what I did in the world. Now that I'm a Christian, why should I be, even as a man, exposing myself for all to see? How much more you, a woman? It is the flesh at work. And I love to go to the beach. I say, God will use Islam to judge many Christians. Islam. God will use many Muslim women to judge many Christian women. I don't know the word they call it. Bikini is the one that is pant and bra. There is the one that the Muslims wear, whether it's burqa or something. I have seen it before. I saw a Muslim woman that went to the beach and was covered. But you, because you want to have fun, it's the flesh, show, you allow compromises. Hey, I'm not doing anything wrong now. No, you are. Your body is sacred and men are seen. In this generation, a man can hardly move without looking at the bum bum of a woman. So why are you making it worse as a Christian woman? They are supposed to be around you and be saying, thank God I'm among saints. My sisters are not making me to stumble or fall. There are some of you that we cannot walk with you. No matter the Holy Ghost we have. Because you will be reminding us of Egypt. That's the flesh. Come out of the flesh to meet Jesus. So come out of the flesh. It is the flesh that makes you compromise and tell a little lie so that you will make money. Jesus will not meet you in the flesh. The only thing that will be raptured by Jesus is Jesus. You didn't hear me? He said, he is what? The firstborn among many brethren. The only thing that will be raptured by Jesus is Jesus. If God does not see that image of his son in us, forget it. Many of us are still in the flesh. If you are serious about going to heaven, come out of the flesh. Go ye out of the flesh to meet him. Finally, go ye out of the midst of false brethren. IT, I gave you this point. I thought you would show them so that, because people write them down. Go ye out of the midst of false brethren. My time is up. But let me just talk on that before we round up. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6, there is something many of us don't know there. Please, pay close attention to this scripture. It says, your boasting, your glorying is not good. Don't you know that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge therefore what? The old leaven, that you may be a new lump as you are leavened. If you read further, he is speaking of the case of false brethren. When we say go out of the midst of false brethren, the truth is there's nothing we can do to stop them from coming to church. They will always come to church. Eh? Somebody was telling me on Friday, a brother, he said that he was just reflecting and he discovered that all those that are persecuting this church, you see us here, we will call names of some men of God. that are messing up the scripture, they don't fight us. All those that are persecuting Bread Assembly Church, they were all once with us. Have you ever sat down to think about it? All those that say all manner of things against the church on Facebook and wherever you know they jam them. Somebody will tell you, ah, you still there at church? They were all members of this ministry. And the truth is that some are still here who are not part of us. We won't chase you away. We are people of love. He said, when we see our enemy, we should love them. But how do we come out from them? We will not identify with the nonsense they do. When we see them destroying what we are building, we will rebuke them. We will rebuke them. That is how to come out from them. We will not allow you to continue your rubbish amongst us. Because a little leaven leavened the whole lump. Even practically, maybe in our prayer band, have you seen, we are praying. I used to see it very well, most especially among sisters. Maybe one sister do like this. Before you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 people. An anointing has been transferred. A little level. How much more when a false brethren is in our midst? When you see a false brethren that speaks against the church, that works against the progress of the ministry, you have a responsibility to expose them. Covering them is partaking of their sins. Because they are destroying what we are building. You are telling me, Brother Lum, how does this have to do with the rapture? It has to do with the rapture because they will corrupt us. They will hinder the flow of the body. Jesus said that a kingdom that is divided against itself, a house that is divided against itself cannot stand. That is how it will divide us. The first church, the apostolic church, was united. So when we see any virus carrier, we will kick you out in the name of the Lord Jesus if you will not repent. So that you won't corrupt the body. Come out from the midst of false brethren. And false brethren also are people that say, we believe. They preach, they claim to preach what you are doing, what you believe rather. They claim to believe the end time message. They will even call themselves Bride Assembly. But when it gets down to the root of it, they don't honor the scriptures. Don't go to any church because the church is bearing Bride Assembly. If you leave Lagos and you are looking for church to go, please, online brethren, you can hear me. Don't go to any church simply because it is bearing Bride Assembly. Watch what they are doing. If it does not reflect what we stand for and what we do here, they are false brethren. Don't identify with them. As simple as that. So when we do this, the body can progress and be well nourished. Time will fail me to continue, brethren. But as we used to say in secondary school, with this few points of mine, I hope I've been able to convince you and not to confuse you that if you will be raptured by Jesus, you must go out to meet him. Can we bow our heads and talk to the Lord? Let's ask the Lord to give us strength.